We're talking about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So I assume what you mean by Hilchos Chol HaMoed, the request was made about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So there are a lot of things that you could talk about in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. There's Avelus B'Moed, there's a Chiyuv Simcha B'Moed, there are the Dinim of the Tefillah B'Moed, of Davening and Moed, and Yal Viavo and the like. But I assume the primary topic that people are interested in talking about is Malacha and Chol HaMoed, what is and what is not Mutter, because it is somewhat of a confusing sugya. Meaning it doesn't seem that there are such clear-cut rules in terms of what is Asr, what is Mutter on Chol HaMoed. So maybe just a little bit of clarity in the sugya would be helpful. So let's start with Malacha, then we'll move on to haircuts and shaving and the like. And then maybe if we have time after that, we'll get back to Avelus and Simcha and things of that nature as well. So as far as Hilchas Malacha and Chol HaMoed, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim whether Malachas Chol HaMoed is Asr Midaraisa or Asr Midirabanan. The Torah never actually says explicitly that you're not allowed to do Malacha and Chol HaMoed. The Torah does talk about an inyan of Simcha and Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnayos say that some Malachas are Mutter, some Malachas are Asr, and the Rishonim disagree. Agree whether it's in this, those that are us or us midarais or us midrabanan. The Mechaber paskins in Shulchan Aruch that Malachas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan. The Ramah paskins Malachas Chol HaMoed is the Oraisa. L'may nafkamina, we observe the Dinim Derabbanan as well, right? L'chora, we observe the Dinim Derabbanan as well. Nafkamina is always Safik Derabbanan L'chora, Safik Deraisa L'chora. In fact, there are cases, Rabbi Kivega points out, that you find that the Mechaber Ramah, the Shittasim, because you'll find cases where the Gemara leaves something as an Ibayid Leif Shittah, where the Gemara leaves a Shaila in Melechas Chol HaMoed unresolved. And when you have such cases, the Mechaber is always Mekel and the Ramah is always Machmir. Why? L'shitasam. The Mechaber holds Melechas Chol HaMoed is Rabbanan. The Ramah holds Melechas Chol HaMoed is Doraisa. So it's very easy to say that there's a Machlokas about it, but do any rayas, any clear proofs, whether Melechas Chol HaMoed is Doraisa or Derabanan? So there is a Gemara in the end of the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah that tells us that Kutim didn't observe Malachas, the halachas of Malachas Chol HaMoed. Kutim would continue to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, says the Gemara, if you rent a field to a Kuti, it's a violation of Lifnei Iver, because you can bet that he's going to be doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So don't rent your field to a Kuti, he's going to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Someone just called me this morning with a Shaila. They have Islanders tickets. Apparently the Islanders are good again. This hasn't happened, I think, since 1984. And they have tickets to a game on Friday night. Friday night, first Seder night, and they're obviously not going to use the tickets. From Jew is going to be busy experiencing Shabbos and Seder and Pesach. So you want to know, can you give it to a non-religious Jew, a colleague of his, who's not going to be having Seder anyway? So can you give him the Islander tickets? So l'chora, that's l'fnei iver d'oraisa, right? Because he's not getting free tickets otherwise unless you give him free tickets. So in a similar vein, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us, if the kuti is going to be doing Malacha on your field in Chol HaMoed, so then you're not allowed to rent him a field on Chol HaMoed. So Tosfos asks, wait a second, how could that be Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa if the whole Isser of Malachas Chol HaMoed is only D'Rabbanan? How could you have Lifnei Iver on something that's only a Din D'Rabbanan? So Tosfos says, must be that the Isser of Malachas Chol HaMoed is D'Oraisa. So that's one of the rayas that they bring. If there could be such a thing as Lifnei Iver, then it must be Malachas Chol HaMoed is D'Oraisa. So is that a great proof? Two reasons why it's not the world's greatest proof. Tells themselves point out, it could be that Melechas Chol HaMoed is Drabanan, and the Lifnei Iver that you're violating is Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. Right? It could be that it's only Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. So that's one reason why it's not a great proof. The other reason it's not a great proof is, it could be Melechas Chol HaMoed is Drabanan. And maybe, by enabling someone to do an Issa Drabanan, you could still be in violation of Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa. Some of the Acharim say this. I think it's an Amunah Shmuel that they quote that says like this. What? How could that be Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa if you cause someone to only do an Isser D'Rabbanan? So that's Tali in the Chakira of what Lifnei Iver is. Is Lifnei Iver that I get a chelek of his Isser, in which case it's impossible that I violated a greater Isser than he did. He only violated Isser D'Rabbanan, I'm going to violate Isser D'Oraisa. Or is Lifnei Iver? No, not that I'm like a participant together with him in the Isser, but that I have a separate Isser, that I'm not allowed to cause other people to stumble. Violating Isser D'Rabbanan is also stumbling. Logara me'itza ra'a. if you give someone bad advice, that's also lifnei iver. So causing him to violate an issur d'rabbanan is at least bad advice. So maybe that's lifnei iver d'oraisa as well. So that's not such a conclusive raya. It's not the strongest raya in the entire world. Any other raya? So there is another raya from a gemara that appears in Moed Katan and Chagiga that it's unclear exactly, the Gemara Moed Katan tells us, unclear exactly what is and what is not permissible on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara has an expression, Lo Masara HaKasuv Ela L'Chacham. This is why the Malacha Chol HaMoed is so difficult. Because to figure out what is and isn't a Malacha, it's not like we can look at the model of Malacha HaMishkan. No. The Chachamim had the right to determine what is and is not included in Melachas Chol HaMoed. Meaning, obviously, the starting point is Melachas HaMishkan. The starting point is whatever is Asra and Yantif. And then the Chachamim had a right to determine and what's going to be Mutter within those categories. There's nothing that's going to be Asr beyond what's Asr and Shabbos and Yantif, right? We're not going to have more Isurim. But starting with that which is Asr and Shabbos and Yantif, the Chachamim had the right to determine what they're going to sort of block out as Mutter, as being Mutter. Lomasara Kosov Ella L'chachamim. So some Rishonim say, L'masara kosev ela l'chachamim, that makes it sound like these are dinim d'rabbanan. The chachamim certainly shouldn't have the ability to manipulate dinei Torah. If the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, for example, the chachamim can't determine, but if you're really hungry, you could be mevasha. No, they can't do that. That's not okay. So maybe this is an indication that it's a d'rabbanan, whereas other Rishonim say, no. This is a concept on a d'oraisa level, that there are psukim that tell us in Isir, and in a very general term, and the Rabbanan figure out exactly how to apply that Isir, that the Chacham, the Torah actually gives leeway for the Chachamim to shape the Dinei HaTorah. Similar to Chukas Akum, for example, Rav Shachter gives the example. It's a general statement in the Torah, and the Chacham sort of figure out what is and what isn't. Rav Elchanan has a section of Kovet Shurim called Kuntros Divrei Sofrim. You have a look at it, it's a very fascinating thing to read. He discusses a lot of things, the relationship between Din D'Rabbanan and Din D'Oraisa, and he raises the following suffix. There is a din that ain based in Yachal Levata Divra based in Chaver Elam Kenhim Gadol Me'amachachum Minyan. That a later based is not allowed to be Mevatel. The words of an earlier based in, a Gezerim of an earlier based in, a Takan of an earlier based in, unless they are Gadol B'chachma B'minyan. Unless they are greater than the earlier based in both Chachma and Minyan. The Yerushalmi is quoted by both Tosus and the Rambam to say that that is only true when you're dealing with Dimon Drabbanan. When you're dealing with Dinim D'Oraisa, a later Bezin can disagree with an earlier Bezin. We saw this in Eretz Tzvi, right? That when you're dealing with Dinim D'Oraisa, so if Rabbi Kiveger paskins one way in a Shailin Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is allowed to paskin another way in a Shailin Hilchos Shabbos. You don't say, oh, no, he's not Gadol B'chachum Minyan. You don't need to be Gadol B'chachum Minyan. We're not talking about a gzera. We're talking about interpretation of Torah law. When it comes to interpretation of Torah law, as long as you're entitled to an opinion, as long as the later generation is someone who's a bar hachi to be able to issue an opinion, they're allowed to disagree with those who came earlier. That's the principle we know of. You could finish the phrase, Yiftach. Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro, right? And even a lesser chacham in a later generation. You have the right to disagree with an earlier posek as long as you're entitled to opinion, to an opinion. In fact, there are many things, Rav Shachter always points out, there are many things that you find in early Svarim that aren't that great, that aren't that, he said, just like we have Amaratzim nowadays, they had Amaratzim in the times of the Rishonim as well. Not every person who wrote a book in the times of the Rishonim was a great Talmud. Obviously, the classic ones are. Those are, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban, but they find a manuscript of, Tosos Chachme in South Africa or something, and they go, manuscript, this is old, it's ancient. Okay, but it could be that there's a reason why it was hidden away for all those years, that it's not being earlier doesn't necessarily mean that you have a greater right to interpret Torah law. Where did this din of Ein Beis Yachal Levata Dvar Beis Chaverim Ken Gadol B'Chachum Minyan come from? So Rav Chanan raised the possibility that it could be that it's patterned after Melechus Chol HaMoed. That maybe the way Melechus Chol HaMoed works, meaning it's a din d'oraisa, there's an issur d'oraisa Melechus Chol HaMoed, the Chacham had the right to determine what the gedarim of those yisurim are, like what is and is not usher in melachas chol hamoed. And once the chachamim determine that, what's included on the darais level, that's it, it's stuck. Meaning, whereas interpreting hilchas Shabbos and hilchas Kashrus and hilchas Nida, a later generation is allowed to argue on an earlier generation, there is one area in the Torah where a later generation cannot argue an earlier generation, and that is where lo masar nakas velachacham. That if you have a din in the Torah, that the Torah itself is unclear, and the Torah itself says we're giving the leeway to the Chacham to determine it, that was in the times of Chazal. They made that determination. Once they made that determination, we cannot change those determinations unless we're called the B'chacham and Minyan. And called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kent Araisa Tikkun. That's why the Rabbanon were Masakin, that when it comes to Gzeros mid Rabbanon, a later Bezin cannot uproot an earlier Bezin's Gzeros, and can call the B'chacham Minyan. It's patterned after the Dinda Araisa by Melechus Chol HaMoed, that we're not allowed to uproot it. That's how Rav Chanan understands in Kuntros Divrei Sofrim. The Chum were Koveah the guidelines. Once they were Koveah the guidelines, we can't do anything. Okay, so we have this Machlokas, Mechaber Ramah, is Melechus Chol HaMoed Rabbanon, or is it a Raisa? And we know that there are some Melechus that are Mutter, some Melechus that are Asr. So now, what are the Melechus that are Mutter? What are the exceptions to the Yisr of Melechus Chol HaMoed? So if you look in the Mishnah Brura, in the beginning of Hilchus Chol HaMoed, he brings from the Bir Agra that it essentially, if you learn through all of Hilchus Chol HaMoed, you'll discover that there are five Heterim. The best way to structure it is to appreciate, always with numbers, is always the best way to structure everything, right? So there are five Heterim. Five heterim of Melechus Chol HaMoed. So let's go through each heter and some of the applications. Heter number one is Tzorchei Rabin, that if something that's a communal need, it's not for your individual needs, it's something that's going to benefit the community. It used to be in those days, there was no such thing as like, you know, a government agency that takes care of paving roads, or that takes care of parks and recreation, or a garbage pickup, or whatever. I mean, they had volunteer work. People who were members of the community would volunteer to do these things on their off time. So Tzorchei Rabin, the Chazal said, okay, yeah, you don't have salaried people to do this, so volunteers would do it. When we don't have time to volunteer, but days that you're not allowed to do your own malacha, those were ideal days to volunteer. And Chazal allowed Tzorchei Rabin. So nowadays, how does that apply? We do have government agencies that take care of these things. The shul walkway needs to be repaved, right? It's all cracked and broken. Tzorchei Rabin, you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So that is one heter. It doesn't come up that much, but it's one of the heterim. One of the more popular heterim in Melechus Chol HaMoed, and one that's not so easily understood, a lot of times you find it to be misunderstood, is that they're called Melechus Davra Avud. The Mishnah says in Maseches Moed Katan that you're allowed to be Mashke Beis HaShlachin B'Moed, that you can irrigate a Beis HaShlachin, a field that requires irrigation, on Moed. Why? Because if you don't irrigate it, the whole field will get ruined. It will destroy everything. So in order to maintain, in order to make sure that it doesn't get ruined, you're allowed to irrigate the field on Chol HaMoed. That would be called a Davra Avid. So even though you're allowed to do Melech Davra Avid, the Mishnah adds, you're not allowed to be Mechavin Melech Davra Avid. You're not allowed to say like, oh, before Yantav I have time to do it, but I'll just wait till Yantav, I have more time then. I have more time in Chol HaMoed to do it, so I'm not going to do it in advance of Yantav. You can't be Mechavi Melech HaMoed, so much so that if you are Mechavi Melech HaMoed, Mishnah says there's a Knas, you're not allowed to get Hanav from that Melech. That if you specifically wait for Yantav, even if it's Davar Aved, it's going to make you lose. But you could have taken care of it before Yantav or after Yantav, and you dafka chose to wait for Yantav to do this, well then there's a special knas, you're not allowed to get hana'a from that malacha. The Gemara tells us that knas does not apply to one's children after they die. So if that hana'a is still in their possession afterwards, the children can get hana'a from it. But generally speaking, a davar avid is mutter, again, provided that you're not mechavin malach to the moed. So what's the classic example of davar avid? You have a job, and they will fire you if you don't go to work on Chol HaMoed. So in davar avid gadol mizeh, that's a real davar avid. You're going to lose your employment. That's you have the job, you're going to lose the job. If you don't come on Chol HaMoed, that's not called being mechavin malach to the moed. But if you take any week off that you're not allowed to take off, you'll get fired. So there is a shaila in poskim about a suffik davar avid. A I'd say, I don't know, I think I have a pretty good relationship with the boss, and he'll let me get it, but I'm not sure, he might fire me. So poskim are makel and safek davar avid as well. If doing the malacha can earn you lots of money, but it won't, it's not a davar avid, it's something you're going to lose, but it's just a loss of opportunity to earn, that's not called a davar avid. That's not called the Gemara talks about a case where there was an overflowed river one day, and the overflowed river left a whole bunch of fish, kosher fish, that was now dead, but there for the taking for people. But it was more fish than they could possibly eat on Yantif, so they wanted to preserve it. They wanted to salt them in order to preserve the fish. So there's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says, not permissible. It's such a boon. You have all these fish for free now. They're all just sitting there. I remember after Hurricane Sandy, walking down University Road in North Woodmere, which is right near the water, there were fish all over the place because the pond had come all the way up. It had gone all the way up to people's lawns and then some, and then it had receded. And when it receded, it left all the fish there. So, or a lot of the fish there. So there were fish all. So the Gemara describes such an event that occurred that they had fish all over the place. They wanted to salt the fish. Rava originally permitted them to do it, but the Gemara's maskana seems to be that you're not allowed to do it. That's not called the davar aved. It's that's considered to be a loss of profit, but not a davar ha'aved. If you have the information that you might forget, unless you write it down, so that's a davar aved. Like the example of Shulchan Aruch, you're mechadesh a chiddush in Torah, right? So you're going to forget your chiddush Torah if you don't write it down. So as a way to remember it, you're allowed to write it down. That's called a davar aved. A phone number, you're going to forget a phone number if you don't write it down. If you don't put it in, you know, program it into your phone. So that's considered a davar aved. If the Shulchan Aruch even goes so far as to say, let's say there's a sale. That's I get the shayla every Chol HaMoed. There's a big sale, and it's only now, only on Chol HaMoed. So you really have to. Is it a big sale? Meaning, if it's a, you know, they have the stores are good at marketing. So you know, there's a big sale every week. You know, so this is the big Chol HaMoed sale, and next week will be the big post Pesach sale. And you know, so then that's not really davar aved. But if it's mamish, a big opportunity that, you know, comes once a year and just haven't pumped it, happens to come out on Pesach, so l'chara that's davar aved, or more nogei l'maisa, happens all the time. A young couple, so they're struggling to make ends meet. You know, Baruch Hashem, that's you starve a little at the beginning. It builds character, right? So you're struggling to make ends meet, but comes Yantif, and you go to the parents for Yantif, right? So let's say you're from I don't know, you're living here in New York, but you're from Chicago or Washington or something, right? And you go to the parents for Dallas. You go to the parents for Yantif, right? And on Chol HaMoed, mommy-in-law says to the wife, let's go shopping. Let's go shopping. Now, here's the thing. When you go shopping at home, you pay. Because parents are building character, they're not supporting you, that you support yourself. You're old enough to get married, you're old enough to support yourself, yeah? But there's no way that mommy's going to go shopping with her own daughter and let her daughter pay, right? Mommy's going to pay when mommy goes shopping with the daughter. So you have this unique opportunity. Everything on Chol HaMoed is free. When you wait till after Chol HaMoed, it's not free. So even though it's actually costing the same amount of money, but it's not really not for you. L'chora, that is ein davar aved gadol mizeh. I mean, you have an opportunity for free stuff, and you don't get free stuff the rest of the time. L'chora, that is a davar aved. Ma'isim b'chol yom. Get that shayla every single year. L'chora, that is a genuine davar aved. The Rush writes that losing a customer is a davar aved. You know, someone's running a business, he has a customer that's a loyal customer, but the customer needs a certain service now. He needs the service now, and if he finds it somewhere else, because you're closed for him, so you're closed for business, he's going to find that somewhere else. He may shift loyalties to the person who's able to, you know, people shift loyalties very easily. Rush says, if he's an existing customer, not about attracting new customers, he's an existing customer, and you may lose him, that too is considered a davar ha'aved. Rav Moshe discusses, what about using vacation days for Chol HaMoed, meaning is it considered a davar aved, meaning to the point that I have X number of vacation days, But you know what? My kids are off from school in winter vacation. They're off from school 2 weeks between school and camp, another 2 weeks between camp and school. And, you know, I'm going to need those vacation days to actually entertain the children at some point, right? So am I not allowed to take any actual vacations because I have to use all of my vacation days on Chol HaMoed? So Rav Moshe has an interesting chiluk. Rav Moshe says, look, if Chol HaMoed comes and you still have vacation days, you have to use them. But, he says, if you use your vacation days during the summer, knowing that by using them during the summer, you're not going to have any left for Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you're allowed to use them during the summer. Even though that's good, by the time Chol HaMoed Sukkos comes, it's going to be a davar of it, that you don't have to cheshbon in advance. That's what Moshe's chiddush. Shlomo Zalman doesn't agree. Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, it's part of being a Jew. You know, you have to use your vacation days on Shabbos and on Yantiv and Chol HaMoed, provided that you have that many vacation days. If you don't have that many vacation days, so then it's a davar avid. You don't have to lose your job. Then it's certainly a davar avid not to have to lose your job. I think halavai people should be machmir like Rav Moshe. You know, it's not not so pashut for people to use all their vacation days on Chol HaMoed, but that would certainly be something that we encourage. And you know, who's Eish Lahava about this? I was listening to some shiurim from Rabbi Rudinsky in Muncie. Eish Lahava about this, that everyone has to. He said he inspired many members of his shul to dafka take all their vacation days on Chol HaMoed. He held it was a very big avla that everyone is working on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so that is even when you have a davra aved, you're not supposed to do tircha meruba, right? We avoid melacha that's totally unnecessary, even with no tircha, you shouldn't do. But a minor tircha, a minor tircha you could do. Well, we'll get into tzarchei moed right now, actually. So let's discuss tzarchei moed. It's the third heter is tzarchei moed. Cooking on Chol HaMoed, right? No one holds you not allowed to cook on Chol HaMoed. You need to eat. You're allowed to cook on Yantiv. You need to eat, right? So you're allowed to cook on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to, let's say, pick fruit or squeeze oranges on Yantiv itself, right? For whatever reason, they're not included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. On Chol HaMoed, it's mutter. If you have something that's for your physical well-being, you have to go to a dentist. So that's called Tzarchei HaMoed automatically. Even though the dentist is going to be drilling and doing malacha for you or whatever, it's called Tzarchei HaMoed. All Tzarchei HaGuf are automatically called Tzarchei HaMoed. Machlokas, Rabbi Sabalovsky and Rabbi Shechter, whether a regular routine doctor's visit is called Tzarchei HaGuf. Rabbi Sabalovsky, I think in the most recent Torah to go, whatever that they produced for Pesach, I believe said that going for on a routine doctor visit is not mutter. Rav Shachter thought any tzarchei aguf, even a routine doctor visit, even a well checkup, is called tzarchei aguf and is therefore mutter. If there are matzah crumbs on your carpet, you can vacuum them up on Chol HaMoed. That is that's a tzarech hamoed. If you enjoy yourself by taking a pleasant drive or a trip with the family, that's tzarchei hamoed. What about like apple picking? So it's a very common Chol HaMoed activity, right? So if you're picking the apples to eat the apples on Chol HaMoed or Yantiv, of course, that's certainly Tzarchei HaMoed. But what often happens is you pick enough apples to feed several armies for the next several years. But it's the activity, you're picking apples. So and then you have all of these extra apples. So is that called Tzarchei HaMoed? I would have thought that is not called Tzarchei HaMoed, but Rav Shachter thought that it's an activity. So if it's an activity and you're doing it for fun and you're doing it to be able to enjoy the Moed, that might be considered Tzarchei HaMoed. Even for Tzarchei HaMoed, only a Maisa Hedyot is permissible. And this, I guess, you could list as the fourth Kula, but it's really a detail within Kulas number 2 and 3. That even for davar avid, even tzarchei moed, maisa hedyot, only maisa hedyot. So it's not a maisa uman. Writing in a fancy ksav like a sefer Torah is a maisa uman. That's not mutter, even if you need it for moed. If a shul has to lain and they need to correct a psul in the sefer Torah, or a person needs tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so then you can fix it. Why couldn't they just borrow someone else's tefillin? Because they used to wear tefillin all day. So that's why Shulchan Aruch, they give that example, that you can fix the tefillin on Chol HaMoed. There's a question how we define exactly Maisa Hadyot. The Chakira goes like this. Is Maisa Uman determined by how skilled you have to be in order to be able to do this work? Or how skilled the result of the work is, the product is? Meaning, I can produce the most magnificent and perfect calligraphy. All I have to do is hit print, and it comes out. Now, but any idiot could hit print, and the same Maisa Uman would come out. So this is a major discussion in Poskim, whether you're allowed to type on Chol HaMoed. Is that called Maisa Uman, or is it called Maisa Hedyot? I go to IKEA on Chol HaMoed. One year we took an IKEA trip on Chol HaMoed. My wife told my kids, I think I mentioned this to you once, that if you don't tell me what you want to do, we're going to IKEA. And they thought we were joking. We all got packed in the car, like, where are we really going? And we really went to IKEA. and we bought some IKEA furniture, and my wife wanted to put it together on Chol HaMoed. Now, the way the IKEA furniture is made is that any idiot should be able to put it together, meaning it's made in a way where you don't need to be a carpenter to put it together. That's the whole kunst.
You just need to know how to read Chinese.
You just have to know how to read Chinese. It's exactly right. So they want you to feel proud of your work, and there's, we've discussed, the whole psychological effect, the IKEA effect. That every time, still to this day, my wife walks by that bedroom that my two younger sons sleep in, and she sees the desk that she put together, the bookshelf that she put together, the night she did it. I said, you can go to IKEA, I'm not putting this stuff together. The night tables that she put together, and like this smile, she radiates, you know, this pride. That's mine. I built that. It's a piece of garbage furniture in comparison to every other furniture that we have. Yeah, but it's the furniture that she put together. So it's there's a certain. So this is a psychological effect that people have noted, that when you put effort into something, you put a shtadlus into it, you put a meilus into it, so then there's a certain pride that you have. Now, at the end of the day, it's furniture and it's working and it's holding together just like if a carpenter put it together. But it's made in a way where you don't need to be a carpenter to put it together. So is that called a Maisa Uman or a Maisa Hedyot? So Rav Shechter happens to be pretty machmir about this, but most other poskim, I think, have leaned lekula on this shayla about typing on Chol HaMoed and the like. We actually just had the IKEA shayla. There was someone that bought a new home in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael for the whole Yantiv. And they're not sure what they're going to need on Yantif, but they're not going to need on Yantif, but they might need an extra couple of beds. So, you know, whatever furniture they buy, they'll also use on Yantif. But they want to know in Chol HaMoed, can they go to IKEA in Israel, right? There's an IKEA in Israel. So they want to know, can they go there and buy some stuff and put it together on Chol HaMoed? And Rav Shechter thought it's a Maisa Uman, and he thought that they should not do that. But I think many other poskim might be makil on that case. Now the fifth hatter should never happen. Shalom Eda, we should never know from such things. This is Paul Ve'in Lo Ma Yochal. Is a person who mamish doesn't have what to eat, and he survives on his daily earnings. And without those daily earnings, he literally will not have what to eat. He will not be able to survive. So in such a case, obviously that is a heter of Melachas Chol HaMoed. Now those are the broad heterim, but then there's one heter that's not really discussed explicitly, but implicit from many sources. Rav Shechter in Eretz Tzvi in Simen Vav, Os Tes, points out, and with this will be Yotzei, our 15 minutes of Torah, Rav Shechter, and I'll take the question in a second. He points out that the impression you get from a number of sources is that when we talk about what you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, only things that are categorized as malacha are included in that which you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. There are many things that are asur in general on Shabbos and Yantif, but are not malacha. What are they if they're not malacha? Gzeilos. Meaning, even dinim drabanan, there are two types of. Daraisa, you only have malachas, right? Daraisa is malachas. What are you not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yantif on a daraisa level? Malachas. Midrabanan, what are you not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yantif? Well, there are two categories. There are malachos drabanan, where you say, when I do this, I'm doing that malacha, but on a drabanan level. And there are gzeiros drabanan, which it's not called that I'm doing the malacha. The Rabban just said, don't do this, lest you come to confuse it with something else, come to violate something else. But it's not that I'm actually doing the malacha. L'masha, There is an issur d'oraisa, you're not allowed to be tochin, you're not allowed to grind herbs or things like that on Shabbos. On Shabbos. So let's say, so the Rabbanan made a gzeira. What was the gzeira mid Rabbanan? Refuah. You're not allowed to take medication. Now you're going to tell me every time I pop an Advil, I don't take Advil anymore, every time I pop a Tylenol, that I'm violating tochin mid Rabbanan? It's not tochen midrabanan. I'm violating gezeira atu tochen. I'm not doing tochen midrabanan. Maybe I do a malacha, the same exact malacha, but I do a kila achar yad. Okay, so that, you know, I light a fire, kila achar yad, tavara midrabanan. Right? But you're not going to say that when I take a medication that it's tochen midrabanan. No, that's, I'm violating a gezeira, not a malacha, a gezeira, lest you come atu tochen. So says Rav Shechter, whenever we talk about malachas chol hamoed, it's always meleches chol hamoed that's aser. Gzeiros are mutter on chol hamoed. And this has many ramifications. Muktza is gzeira, it's not melecha. So muktza, not an issue on chol hamoed. It's a gzeira shemiyotzi, and therefore, we don't, there are several reasons for what's actually Rambam writes, but let's assume gzeira shemiyotzi, that you might come to carry out into the Rosh Hashanah, it's a gzeira, and therefore there is no isur muktza on chol hamoed. The Tosefta in Moed Katan tells us, taking medicine is mutar on chol hamoed. Why? It's a gzeira, mishum shchita sabmanim. So it's not tochein midrabanan, it's a gzeira, so gzeira is mutter on chol hamoed. Tosa says not to ride a horse on chol hamoed, right? So Shulchan Aruch, the Raman, Sim Tavkov Lamed Vav, disagrees. He says we don't pass it this way. You are allowed to ride a horse on chol hamoed, right? So you want to go on a nice chol hamoed trip, horseback riding is perfectly fine, says the Raman. Why? Isn't it a violation of an issur d'rabbanan? Why is it also to ride a horse on Shabbos? Yeah, you'll rip off a branch. So is that called that when I'm riding a horse, I'm violating kotzer midrabanan? No, it's a gezeira shema. I can't ride a horse because of a gezeira that I might come to violate an iser. And therefore, the Rama paskins that it's mutter to ride a horse on chol hamoed. Whenever it's only gezeira. What's another example of a gezeira? What else are you not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of a gezeira? What? I can't hear you. Shofar. Okay, well, let's pick a similar example. Dancing and playing music. Why are you not allowed to play music on Shabbos Yom Tov? Gzeira shem yisakin klishir. So when I'm playing music, I'm being misakin klishir midrabanan? No, of course I'm not being misakin klishir midrabanan. It's not tikkun midrabanan when I'm playing music. When I'm playing... I'm assuming guitar. I don't play music, but when I'm playing music, I'm not being misakin klishir midrabanan. I'm violating gzeira shema yisakin klishir, and therefore playing music is mutter on chol hamoed. Dancing is mutter on chol hamoed. Clapping is mutter on chol hamoed. Even if you hold that it's asur on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? These things are mutter on chol hamoed. What about the following? What about carrying? So carrying is mutar on Yom Tov, letzorach Yom Tov, right? But let's say you just have a dirty tissue that you will never reuse in your pocket, and there's no eruv. So l'chor, that's asur on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to carry that on Yom Tov. And what about a chol hamoed? So Tosfos nowadays there's no Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa b'zman hazeh. So wherever you're carrying in a karmelis, right? Is carrying in a karmelis hotza'a midrabanan? Or is it a gzeira shema yotzi b'Rosh Hashanah? So I would have said it's hotzah midrabanan, right? And on a drabanan level, even carrying in a karmelis is hotzah. Nevertheless, Tosos holds, Rosh Shechter quotes, Tosos holds that there's no Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa b'zman hazeh, and therefore, in carrying a karmelis is only a gzeira. And that's why you're even allowed to carry things that are not Letzorach HaMoed. This is based on an Egle Tal in Melechus Ofe, Sivkat and Mem. That carrying in a karmelis is a gezeira, not a melacha. And therefore it's mutter. The Rosh in the first parak of Moed Katan, Os Chav Ches, discusses pragmatia. What's pragmatia? Business. Is it a gezeira or a melacha? To do pragmatia, right? But doing business is drabanan, right? We all realize it's not a melacha, right? What? Gzeira shem yichta, right? It's not that when I'm selling something, I'm violating kosev midrabanan. When I write one os, maybe I'm violating kosev midrabanan. When I write with the davar sheino shel kayama, maybe I'm violating kosev midrabanan, right? But when I'm doing pragmati, I'm not doing kosev midrabanan. One second. If you don't do ksiva, right, you don't actually write when you're doing business. It's only gzeir shami yichlof. Strictly speaking, it should have been mutar and chalamoid, but it's not. Yerushalmi says they made a separate issur against pragmatia b'chalamoid, because the entire purpose of Chol HaMoed is so that B'nai Yisrael should have time to sit and learn, right? The Ran quotes Ma'al Katan from Yerushalmi, that the whole point is to be able to have some more time to not have other responsibilities, to sit and learn, and to have a sense of Simcha and a sense of Menuchas HaNefesh. So if people went to work, it would ruin the whole thing. It would ruin the whole idea. So they asked Pragmatia, a separate issue. However, because Pragmatia should have been Mutter, and it was only the separate gzeira that made it aser, we're a little more liberal in our definition of davra avid. You know, if there's a major sale, like we said before, right? We said, okay, major sale, davra avid. You're going to lose out on the opportunity for major sale. Normally that wouldn't be called a davra avid. Oh, because I can save money now? That's not a davra avid. It's minyas harevach. I'm not making as much. But because pragmatia in general is only an iser, it should not have been aser, because it's really only gzeira, it's not a malacha, but we asered it anyway, so we're going to be a little more liberal in how we determine what's called davar avid. Contemporary poskim are not certain, it's a discussion of Shech Teraz and Eretz Tzvi, whether malach shein tzrich lugufa is a malacha drabanan or gzeira drabanan. So it's safek, we would pass that it's mutar and chalam avid. Shulchan Aruch Sim Tav Tzadi Ches seems to assume that Muktzah is more chamor than Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa, and which would imply that Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa is only Gzeira, because if Muktzah is more chamor, Muktzah is only Gzeira, so Muktzah is Gzeira Chamura, and Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa would be Gzeira Kala, whereas the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Magen Avraham that Muktzah is more Kal, that Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa is more chamor than Muktzah. Okay, so if Muktzah is Gzeira, and Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa is more chamer, how could it be more chamer? Two possibilities. Either it's more chamer gzeira, or, no, it rises to the level of Melach HaDrabana. Right? So those are the possibilities of how to view Melach Shein Shrich L'Gufa. Questions to this point, before we move on to hair cutting and shaving. Yeah.
When it comes to the harmless, Rebbe wants to say that Roshakar says that it's a gzeira, not a Melach
HaDrabana. Yeah, yeah, based on the Eglei Tal. You can look there, it's in that book.
That's
a good point. Maybe no, because at the time that they made the gzeira, they did have rishus rab. The gzeira goes back to times when they did have rishus rab, and the gzeira remains intact. Even though batal tam, the gzeira stays intact. We're not allowed to be mevatel the previous gzeira. That's what you have to say, I think. Good. Any other questions? Someone else had a hand raised before. Yeah. Again? Is it Takana Ezra? I don't remember where, which. Yeah.
In regards to carrying things like that, that are not Zerach, that's Kalmud and not Zerach, what's something that you might use on Kalmud?
Yes, that's already Mutter. Right, if there's a chance that you're going to need it, I think that's already Mutter. Even on Yantif, I think that would be Mutter. Okay, so let's move into haircuts and shaving. Okay, this is, yeah?
Before we move. In Israel, when I go to Israel for Pesach, sometimes I walk on the beach because I have Shirat Hayam. Is that a problem, like digging into sand? If, like,
no, I think even on Shabbos Yantif, you're allowed to walk on the beach. Yeah.
Like, where is being met all the like, people who work, who go to their job on Talmud? How does that like apply to like, people who work in there? Like something just for Pesach?
And what?
Something just specific for Pesach.
Like you're working at a, that's not pragmatia, you're babysitting or whatever, or catering. No, that's all tzorach hamoed. You're providing people with their needs for a doctor also. I think that's different. It's a little, you know, place of business.
Going back to the malachas davar avid.
Yeah.
A quote from Rav Moshe that there's a, I guess it's makel about taking your vacation days on hamoed.
Yeah, but it seems that Rav Moshe is only makel to take your vacation days earlier, even though you're not going to have any left for Chol HaMoed. I think even Rav Moshe's machmir, that you can't not, if you still have vacation days left when Chol HaMoed comes, you can't not take them. If I'm not mistaken, I have to look up the tshuva again, but I'm pretty sure if you look at Rav Moshe, he was careful to say that you don't have to plan ahead to dafka save them for Chol HaMoed. But if you have them right now, so then, and Rosh Hashanah is even machmir on that. So, okay. Good. So, next piece. The Mishnayos in the third part of Moed Katan tell us that the Chum Masur being mistaper mechabis b'Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to get a haircut. You're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. And really, that should have been mutter, right? Why should it have, which of the Haterim should it have fallen under? Tzarchei HaMoed, right? So it should have been mutter, because it's Tzarchei HaMoed. Tzarchei HaMoed is mutter even if you're mechavin malachto l'moed, right? Even if you dafka plant away, because you're going to need it on Yantiv. Meaning, like, I can cook everything in advance of Yantiv, right? So maybe I shouldn't be allowed to cook on Chol HaMoed, because I could have done everything in advance. No, I plan on cooking for Yantif and for Chol HaMoed on Yantif itself, on Chol HaMoed itself, right? So the Tzarchei HaMoed are mutter on Yantif, even if Kivim Lach to HaMoed. So why does the Mishnah say you're not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? What could be the problem with getting a haircut? So Chazal were concerned that we would be Nichnas the Yom Tov Kishu Menuva, that if we were allowed to wait, we'd come into Yantif looking like a Shemata. You shouldn't come into Yantif if you're ungroomed, looking not nice. It's not respectful for Yantif. So they tell you, you better get a haircut now, because if you don't get one now, you're not going to be able to get one on Yantif. Even if you're laundering, we'll get to in a second. If there's an obvious oneness, though, the Mishnah says, like a person was Yatsumi Beis Hasur, right? A person was in jail previously for all of his mitzvahs and Meisim Tovim, and he gets out on Chol HaMoed. It used to be, when they were in jail, it was just anti-Semitism, wasn't, you know, tax fraud. So a person is insurance fraud or whatever. So a person is gets out on Chol HaMoed, and it used to be you couldn't get haircuts in jail. Now I assume you can, right? All prisoners aren't just hairy beasts, right? They get haircuts, right? So, okay. So probably you can't, so it probably won't apply anymore. But the Mishnah says a person gets out of jail, or they arrive in Medina Sayyam. They were on a boat for the last 3 months, coming back from Medina Sayyam. There was no way to get a haircut on the boat. Or someone was ill, they were in a coma for the last 2 months. And then in Srapi Mecholyam, they get cured from their illness. So then you're allowed to get a haircut, because everyone will realize you weren't delaying to be Mevasid Yantiv. You just didn't have an opportunity beforehand. But a person who had an opportunity beforehand, and it's going to look like he delayed just to be, it's going to be terribly bizayon to the Yantiv. So this opened up a whole discussion. What about shaving? So why should shaving be any different? Don't we, after all, we want you to go into Yantiv clean shaven, looking nice, if you shave every day. I mean, if you're not a bearded person, you're a clean shaven person, so we want you to be able to go into Yantiv looking nice, right? So should the same gzeira apply? So in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like to be mistaper, mikalech, is all the same thing. That you're not allowed to do those things on Chol HaMoed because we want you to enter Yantiv looking good. So that is a discussion, though, in contemporary poskim. What changed in contemporary poskim? Let's say a person, there's machlokas between the Torah and Rabbeinu Tam. Let's say a person took a haircut right before Yantiv, and he wants to take another one on Chol HaMoed. He did. He took care of himself right before Yantiv. He looked clean going into Yantiv. Now he wants another haircut. So Rabbeinu Tam says he can do it, and the Torah says, no, he can't. It's a low pluk. So we pass on the Torah that you're not allowed to do it. It's a low pluk. As far as nail cutting, for sure, right? Nail cutting also. You're not allowed to cut your nails. The Ramah passing is you're allowed to bite your nails on Yantiv. But we pass in Shulchan Aruch, it's machlokas if you can use a nail cutter. And we pass in like the Ramah that you're not allowed to use a nail cutter. So we pass in like the Torah, let's say you cut your nails before Yantiv and you want to cut them again on Yantiv. So if Yantiv started and your nails look good, so we'd rely on Rabbeinu Tam and let him cut his nails on Chol HaMoed, since the entire Isser was only Machlokas in the Gemara to begin with. So I wasn't clear just now. Let me say that again. When it comes to nail cutting, there is a Machlokas in the Gemara whether it's Usser or not. We Paskin, you're not allowed to cut your nails. But, and there's a further Machlokas to Rabbeinu Tam, all those things that we're afraid you might come into Yantav Kshumanuval, let's say you did take care of it before Yantav, and now you want to do it again. So we rely on the lenient opinion that you're allowed to do it again if it's something that was anyway just a machlokas in the Gemara, like nail cutting. Hair cutting was not a machlokas in the Gemara. So therefore, we should not rely on the lenient opinion that if I cut my hair before Yantav, I should be able to cut my hair again on Yantav. Or if I shaved before Yantav, I should be able to shave on Yantav. So mitzad that svara, it would not be enough to allow shaving on Chol HaMoed. Even if you shaved Erev Yantav, the gzera is a low plug we paskin, right? We paskin like the tour, it's a low plug, and you're not allowed to shave again on Chol HaMoed. But then comes along Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses the following. Nowadays we have this new thing called people who shave every day, right? It doesn't happen in yeshiva so much. But there are people who shave every single day because they have to look professional, they have to look good, and every single day they shave. So everyone looks nice on Lel Yantav. But by the first day of Chol HaMoed, everyone looks like they need a shave already because it's been a couple of days, and that's not the way they normally look. Normally they look much more well-groomed. And everybody knows why you don't look well-groomed, right? Everyone knows that if you're going to shave now, it's not because you didn't shave before Yantav. Shouldn't we say, therefore, that you're just like the guy who's Yatsim Beis HaSurin? You're just like the guy who came in Medina Siyam? You're just like the guy who's Nisrapi Mecholia? Because everyone realizes that you're not doing this to be Mevazah the Yantav. Adraba, there's no way. You can't just cut it as it grows. It's going to grow over a couple of days. That should make it mutter. Even though we reject Rabbi Natan when we pass like the Torah, this should be just like the case of Yatsim Beis HaSurin. So Rav Moshe makes this whole cheshbon, and he says, therefore, mutter, 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 and then in the very last line, Yirei Shemayim should be machli. That somebody's Yirei Shemayim should be machli. But he says, if someone does shave on Chol HaMoed, and they're a person who shaves every day, ein ligorba. You shouldn't start yelling at him. In general, you should be careful before you start yelling at people. But you shouldn't start criticizing whatever, because really, strictly speaking, what they're doing is mutter. Rav Soloveitchik made the same argument that Rav Moshe made, mutter, 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 mutter. And then instead of at the end saying Yirei Shemayim Shmi Machmir, he says, and Yirei Shemayim Shmi Machmir dafka to shave. Because if it's mutter, what's your heter to look like a, to look all unkempt on Yantiv? You want to look nice in Yantiv. So if it's mutter, it's a chiyuv. Because that's going to take away, it's going to be mevazes hamoados. Meaning, he held that if it's mutter, then you can't dafka look bad on Yantiv. That's a bizayin to the moed. So if it's mutter to shave, then you have to shave. But it should be pointed out, both Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, whether you hold Rav Moshe's heter v'dochak, or a Soloveitchik's heter l'chadchila, that's only if it's someone who shaves every day. So if you're at a stage in life where you don't shave every day, you shave, I don't know, or I'm still at the stage where, I'll shave, I don't know. If I feel like I have to go to a chasen, I'll shave, and otherwise, just before Shabbos, maybe one other time in the week, so it doesn't get too heavy to shave. But you're not shaving every day, then l'chori, you don't have that head. Right? That is only for, because then you do have the concern that you're gonna be nichnas liyantav kshuv menuvel, because I might say it's so busy Erev Yantav, I'll just shave on Chol HaMoed. I only shave every few days anyway. What difference does it make if I do it now or I do it a few days from now? But if you shave every day, then you have the heter that Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik talk about. Yeah.
If you shave every day for work, with Chol HaMoed now you're not working. You still shave.
That's a good question. L'chor, if you're not working, and normally when you're on vacation, you don't shave every day? So that's probably what it depends on, right? Probably what it depends on. Now, to view that as a tshuva, a very cryptic tshuva. Oh, sorry, Moshe, yeah?
Can you shave interviews?
Probably. Yeah. Now, to view that as a tshuva, that he allowed the people in Prague to shave on Chol HaMoed, and he says, Mitama komosetzli, for a reason that I'm going to keep a secret. Ooh, whoa, what was going on? So comes the Chasam Sofer and he writes, Ani holich rachil megalasod. I'm going to tell you what the secret is. Chasam Sofer says, you ever read the Shuvas Nodav Yehuda? There was crazy stuff going on in Prague. The Nodav Yehuda had shailas about a zona, an eishes ish, and like the craziest things that were going on. People were not behaving nicely in Prague. No, to view that as a, you know, like the things that he was dealing with, you would think are only very modern shaylas. No, he was dealing with some crazy, crazy things. Eishes is shazin, sozom, and lekohen, like real doozies. So, Chasam Sofer says, I'll tell you the secret of the Nadav Yehuda. People in Prague were shaving with razors. And because they were shaving with razors, that's an issa d'oraisa, to shave with the razor. And Nadav Yehuda had a shita that if the hair wasn't grown to a certain length, it's only an issa midrabanan to shave it with a razor. But if you let it grow to a certain length, it becomes an issa d'oraisa to shave with the razor. So Nadav Yehuda was faced with the choice. Either I let them shave on Chol HaMoed, and that way they won't violate the issa d'oraisa of shaving with the razor, because they're not going to listen to me about not shaving with the razor. So I can let them shave on Chol HaMoed, and they won't violate the issa d'oraisa. Or I can tell them they can't shave on Chol HaMoed, they'll listen to me in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and then right after Yantav, they'll shave off grown hair, you know, really grown hair with the razor, and that's going to be an issa d'oraisa. Wow. So that's what the Nadav Yehuda, was, that was his big secret. In Hungary, says the Chasam Sofer, we don't have that kula because we don't have such shkatzim that are going around shaving with a razor. So the heter of the Nadav Yehuda doesn't apply. But again, now that's different than the heter of Maisha. That's different than the heter of Salvation. The heter of Maisha of Salvation is people shave every day anyway, and because you shave every day anyway, you don't have the concern that Shemi Yikarnes Liyamtav Kashuhu Menuval. And nor do you have the concern that it's going to look like you're being Mivaz of the Yantav by shaving, because everyone realizes that you did shave before Yantav, you just need to shave again. What about Svira? What about the Alachas of Svira? I mean, the Chol HaMoed Sukkos is one thing. It's going to be Chol HaMoed Pesach. So if, let's say, there are all sorts of different minhagim as far as when to observe the Avelus of Svira, right? You observe the Avelus of Svira at the first 33 days, you observe Rosh Chodesh to the end, right? Different minhagim. So let's say you observe, like I think most people do, the first 33 days. And you're Bami Medina Siyam and Chol HaMoed Pesach. Right? Let's say the heter that the Mishnah gave, where you're allowed to shave, right? So you're Bami Medina Siyam, you're Nisrapi Michalyam, right? On Chol HaMoed Pesach. Can you take a haircut? So Mishbura quotes a Prima Gadim that says that if you have a heter to take a haircut midinei hilchos Chol HaMoed, you don't have to worry about Svira either. That if it's mutter midinei Chol HaMoed, then you don't have to worry about Svira, but he doesn't explain why. Prima Gadim doesn't say why that would be the case. So there is Rav Shechter quotes Binyan Shlomer. Shlomo Mivilna was the magia of the Vilna Shas, and was also an outstanding Talmud Chacham. Says the Chiddush that Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh doesn't apply on Yantif or Chol HaMoed. And Avelus of Svira is patterned after Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. The rules of Avelus of Svira are similar to the rules of Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh over Aviv V'Imo. In Shulchan Aruch it says an Avel doesn't duchen. So if a person is in the middle of Shiva or Shloshim, the Yantif would cancel the Shiva or Shloshim. Right? So what does it mean? It doesn't. I mean, it never happens. It's only Yud Beis Chodesh, right? So Shulchan Aruch makes it sound like there is a din of Yud Beis Chodesh, because you're not duchening, even though it's only Yud Beis Chodesh, because the Yantav is already canceled, your Shiva or your Shloshim. But Rosh Hashanah Vilna says that this means that when they duchened every day, they wouldn't duchen during Avelis. Meaning, if you're a Svardik or you live in Eretz Yisrael, and you duchen every day, you wouldn't duchen during Avelis. But nowadays, we only duchen in Yantav. And we don't observe Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh on Yantav and Chol HaMoed, so then you could duchen. Because it's Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh, you don't have to worry about it. And that would mean that all Minhagei Sfira don't apply during Chol HaMoed. Why is that very relevant, aside from shaving? Concerts. Music. You look in the Pesach program advertisements, there's a fellow that lives in North Woodmere who's a very popular musician. He's going to be in every single Pesach program, right? Different night, one in the afternoon, and then another one at night, and then here and there, taking advantage, right? Because they all want to pay for the entertainment. Is it mutter, though? Is it mutter to go to the concert? So based on Rav Shlomo Lim Vilna, it would seem yes. Rav Shechter thought not. Rav Shechter thought that the Avelus of Svira continues during Chol HaMoed, and we do observe Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh and of Svira on Chol HaMoed. And the Prima Gadim was saying something else. Shef then said the Prima Gadim differently. Again, what did the Prima Gadim say? That if the Yavah had to take care of Chol HaMoed, you don't have to worry about the Avelis of Svira. So Shef had an unusual, an interesting way of reading this Prima Gadim. He says, look, the things that we don't do during Svira, we don't get married during Svira, but it's not a minhag not to get married during Svira. It's just that when you're setting the date, don't set it during Svira. So the Prima Gadim was saying that a cholish and a srape, it's not that he was setting, you know, he can take a haircut on a cholamoid, even though it's Svira, because there's not a real minute not to get a haircut during Svira, but you get a haircut every month, every 2 months. So don't schedule it during Svira. But he didn't schedule it during Svira. Life scheduled him where he was stuck in that situation. So once life scheduled him that way, so then it's not a violation of any minute, because there is no real minute not to get a haircut during Svira. I can't say I fully understand this. What the difference is between a minute not to do something and a minute to not schedule it to happen to be at that time. But that's what Rav Shachter understood. That's what Rav Shachter has always been machmir about attending concerts on Chol HaMoed. But it seems again that the minhag ha'olam is to be makel. You know, what about a concert on the night of Lag BaOmer, right? So l'chora, the avelus of Svira, not l'chora, it's beferish, right? The avelus of Svira is mitzvah yom kikula. You need part of the next day. And yet, I don't know, the world has all these minhag ha'olam seems to be not that way. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with that. The Gemara learns from Sukkim, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, so you know, like get married on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. On Shabbos, it's only in the Drabbanan. Why on Shabbos is not getting married on Chol HaMoed is in the D'Oraisa, getting married on Shabbos only in the Drabbanan. Why? Because what's the D'Oraisa? It's based on Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. Shabbos, no din of Simcha. You have Kavan Nonek, but you have no din of Simcha. Tosfos Moed Katan says that a bris or a pidyon ben is allowed on Chol HaMoed because you don't get to choose when that happens. Right? So since that, so you can have a celebration, you can have such a Simcha on Chol HaMoed. All right, I guess we'll stop here. Different time we'll discuss the Avelus and the Tefillah and everything else. Okay.